Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. Appreciate you coming this morning. Maybe some of you didn't know I was speaking, but maybe some did. But irregardless, we're glad that you're here. I want to tell you that it's by no circumstance, only by the will of God that you're here this morning. I believe God orchestrates things. I think nothing happens by chance. And so the fact that you're seated here this morning is because God has placed you here. Before I begin this morning, I want to, warn you that the message that I'm speaking this morning is not one that is pleasant. I had a brother remind me last night about the love of God, and ultimately, God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we're going to end with that because there's great news in this message this morning. What provoked me to think on these things was I was watching a video of an open-air preacher, and a woman, there was a crowd around him, and a Christian woman, was very upset with this preacher. And as the video went on, he engaged this woman to come up and to speak with him, asking her why she was so upset. And the reason that she was so upset was because this gentleman was warning people. And he had a lot to say about God and the result of someone that does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And she felt that this was not appropriate. And I would like to suggest this morning that many times we preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we neglect to warn people of the pending judgment. The judgment that hangs over someone that has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I have four points to my message this morning. The first three might be upsetting to you here this morning if you are not saved. As a matter of fact, I hope they will be upsetting to you. But we're going to end well. We're going to end with great news. Great news. There was a gentleman approximately 250 years ago that preached a message, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with, and I'm not going to preach that message. I did listen to it a couple times. Jonathan Edwards. And the message he preached was sinners in the hands of an angry God. And that message, my understanding and reading about it, was that there was a great revival and many came to know their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I believe even today, that ministry of that one message is still speaking to hearts. If you're not saved here, and you're go on your computer, go on YouTube and Google it, or YouTube it. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Let's turn to a few passages of Scripture. The first one we want to turn to is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 reads this. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Two more readings, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their terror ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Our final reading in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We'll end our reading there. Is God angry? I submit to you, he is. The psalmist would say this: God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry. See, there's not a day goes by, things seem normal. You do your daily routine, you get up, you go to work, you go home, you enjoy your family, you have plans, they come and they go, you plan to go on vacation, you do so, you plan for your retirement, and everything is seemingly normal. And in reality, you might submit to me, that's not possible, there's no display of God is angry. Actually, I don't even know if there is a God. Maybe that is your response here this morning. If God is and can be angry, who is it with? The passage tells us this morning, we've read three of them, he's angry with the wicked. We're going to describe who they are. If God's anger is against me, how might I avoid it? Is there a final end result, a final consummation of God's anger to the wicked? To those that oppose him, to those that are not born again. Maybe some of these terms are new to you this morning. Maybe you've heard them time and time again. You've heard from this platform, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, he was told that. He was a ruler. He was smart. He was an intelligent man. And he posed the question, how can I be born again? Can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord Jesus responded to him, no, you must be born from above. You must become a new creature. The psalmist would say, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those that put their trust in him. What fuels God's anger? What fuels it? It's sin. It's like gas on a fire. Here's our outline here this morning. By nature, sinners are children of wrath. Number two, by unbelief, sinners are subjects of wrath. In eternity, and there is an eternity, there is a life after death. In eternity, sinners are endurers of wrath. There's no such thing as annihilation. You will endure the torments of hell. And it says in Revelation, if forever wasn't enough, it says forever and ever. In Christ. Here's the good news. In Christ. Sinners are delivered from wrath. It's as if there was a sentence in a court of law. And because the Lord Jesus Christ bore judgment, and by you understanding the gospel and receiving it and resting in it and trusting in it, the sentence basically gets thrown at a court and you walk out free. Those are my 4 points here this morning. My tear ducts just open up. But I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to be cruel. I don't want to pound you to death with the things that are so negative. But someone told me a long time ago, and I believe it to be true, before someone will ever repent and believe the gospel, they need to understand this, that they're lost, that there's no hope. And so what our intention here this morning is to do this, is to properly locate you where you are. Where are you? Who are you before a holy, righteous God that demands divine justice against your sin? Who are you here this morning? You noticed in my 4 points the word sin has come up. And to explain just in brief form what sin is, I will use what another preacher has done on the street. He would bring to someone, submit to someone, have you ever lied? And someone would say, well, yeah, I have lied. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I can remember a few occasions where I did take something. I did give it back, but I did take it. Have you ever looked upon a woman and lusted after them? Well, if you're a man, you would have to admit that that has happened at least on one occasion in your life. And he would, if this gentleman or if you here this morning would admit to those three things, or even one of them, you would be a liar, you would be a thief, and you would be an adulterer. Because the Lord said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. So you're a thieving, liar, and an adulterer. And see, that's just 3 of 10 of the commandments that were submitted. It's called the law. And the law is a mirror. And if you look against the law, you would just simply understand this. And no one here this morning, I'm sure, would say that they've never sinned. So ultimately, that's what sin is. It's falling short of what God's perfect standard is. By nature, sinners are children of wrath. Wow. It sounds like something that would come out of a horror movie, wouldn't it? Children of wrath. How could that be? How could I be a child of wrath? How could that be? I'm a pretty good person. I've never really done anything that's nasty. I submit to you, this is the word of God. It's not my words. I'm not making it up. You see, you are a child of wrath because you were born from a nature to sin. It's called being the natural man. And unless that is changed, unless you become a new creation in Jesus Christ, you are a child of wrath. And your plight is not very good. The end result of your life is not good. Man may be advanced by environment or favor of any kind by nature as belonging to a fallen race is exposed to the wrath of God. It's not my quote. I wrote that down. Who are the children of wrath? It's a nice kid at the drive-thru. It's the moral businessman. It's the moral businesswoman who's got integrity. It's the housewife. You see, it's very easy for us to see that Hitler is a child of wrath, or Mussolini, or the group ISIS. That's very easy to see, isn't it? Because they're exposed and they're in the media. But how about you this morning, sitting in your pew, who've never acknowledged Jesus Christ, repented, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life when you can say, yeah, that's when it happened? I remember a time period when I understood that without Christ, I was without hope. By unbelief, sinners are subject to wrath. By unbelief. To believe nothing is to be an unbeliever. To be indifferent is to be an unbeliever. To have no opinion at all is to be an unbeliever. Not to believe, count it as not true. You see, don't flatter yourself here this morning thinking that there's some way that I can avoid it. I say that carefully. Don't flatter yourself this morning. Don't step out on your own and think that there's some way I'm doing okay. As a matter of fact, I come here every Sunday morning. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You need a divine intervention. Why hasn't God's anger fallen? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. It's being stored up. It's like you walking. I read this track one time. This hunter, he was chasing this deer, and this deer was cunning, and he had thought he had outsmarted the hunter, but all of a sudden he reaches this big ravine, and there's no way out. And so the deer looks back, and the hunter understands that he's got him. There's no way to escape. And so the deer looks back, and he looks both ways, and you know what the deer does? He jumps. But he doesn't make it. He doesn't get to safety. And that's like a sinner who thinks they can do it their own way. And you know what chases that deer? What chases you into that dark, dismal place called hell? I'll tell you what chases you. It's your sin. It's your sin that will bring you to your demise. And you will not go to heaven with your sin. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all that put their trust in him. Wow. I'm on the other side. I'm safe. I made it. And you know what? It's absolutely nothing that I did. I didn't jump far enough to safety. There was someone that saved me. I rested in another one's work, and it was the person of Jesus Christ when he made payment for all of my sin. That's what makes me safe. In eternity, sinners are endurers of wrath. It's not just one slap on your fingers and maybe a little bit of punishment. Your soul will live on forever in either one of two places, heaven or hell. And you will endure the punishment. And you will endure and endure and endure for all eternity, forever and ever. That is your plight. That is your destiny. That will be the end result of your unbelief. Kids, don't mess around with God's offer of salvation. Be sure. Adults, you that have sat in this place for 20, 30, maybe 40 years, be sure. There's great consequences in not being sure. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver you. See, there's only one way. There's only been one price paid for sin, and it's available to you here this morning. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You will not even be remembered if you do not come in onto the offer of grace. God not only will banish you to a forever burning in hell, but he will forget you. He will be like you have not even ever existed in his presence. He created you, but he will forget you. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? How are you going to hide? It says, flee from the wrath to come. How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great a salvation? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're trying to persuade you. We're trying to convince you that this is the truth. You know, the problem is here this morning, I believe, in some instances, is this. You feel no concern about your guilt. You have no apprehension about eternal matters. The situation is quite alarming. You feel nothing. You may walk out these doors and say, that guy is crazy. He doesn't even know. God's a God of love. It's like an alarm clock. What does an alarm clock do for you every morning when you wake? It alarms you. And I want to tell you this morning, if you feel no guilt, if you have no thoughts of eternity, I want to tell you this, you're asleep and you need to wake up. What holds back God's wrath? It's His mercy. It's His desire and it's His love to have you with Him. And He's given you every opportunity. Another one here this morning. Be real. Don't mess around with God. You're no match for Him. He has anger stored up, and it continues to store up, and it continues until the day your appointment with death, which it will be at His appointed time, will come. And it'll be like you're on a rotten rope bridge over hell, and He'll just drop you in there, and He'll never remember you again. That's the truth. That's what the Word of God tells us. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you just rest in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sin, payment for your sin, you can be set free. Divine justice was met at Calvary. Your sins were paid for in full. And He welcomes you here this morning. We plead with you this morning. Trust Him. I want to read, in closing, one passage. I don't want to end with a bad note, but I want you to go out thinking about what I've said here this morning. I want you to be concerned. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's real. It's not probably something you wanted to hear this morning, but it's real. I trust you will look to the Savior. Savior of sinners for me. We just sung it. You can have your sins forgiven and have a home secured without a doubt in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ, God's provision for you this morning. I trust you'll consider these things. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning, and forgive me if I've shouted. Forgive me if I've said something that's not right. But this thing I know, once I was lost, but now I can see. Father, salvation has been provided. May your Spirit work amongst those sitting in this building here this morning. May they accept your offer of mercy and be safe. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.